Good evening. Unrest in Philadelphia after the police pump 10 bullets into an emotionally disturbed black man. The public asks, when will it end? A new Supreme Court justice, what should progressives expect? And NYCHA falls by the wayside as hope for a stimulus fades. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with the WBAI News for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo urged Armenia and Azerbaijan to pursue a diplomatic solution to the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict as fighting in and around the mountain enclave entered a second month on Tuesday, defying a ceasefire brokered in Washington. Both sides accused each other of striking targets outside the disputed region, defying a truce established by Pompeo over the weekend. The Nagorno-Karabakh Defense Ministry recorded 1,009 deaths since the fighting erupted on September 27th. Azerbaijan has not disclosed its military casualties. Russia has estimated as many as 5,000 people have been killed. And a federal judge on Tuesday rejected a U.S. government request to drop Donald Trump as a defendant in a defamation lawsuit by a writer who said the president falsely denied raping her in a Manhattan department store a quarter century ago. U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan in Manhattan refused to let the government substitute itself for Trump as a defendant in a lawsuit brought by former Elle magazine columnist E. Jean Carroll. Carroll sued Trump last November after he had denied having raped her and Bergdorf Goodman in the mid-1990s, or even knowing who she was. Roberta Kaplan, a lawyer for Carroll, said they looked forward to pursuing the defamation case in federal court. And Philadelphia will deploy additional police officers and has asked surrounding regions for law enforcement support as it braces for further unrest on Tuesday, sparked by the police killing of Walter Wallace. Protests erupted on Monday following the death of the 27-year-old black man who was shot multiple times by two police officers who claimed he had a knife. A video showed an emotionally disturbed Wallace at least 10 feet away from the cops when he was shot.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Bro, they just killed them in front of me!
Yo! While the demonstrations began peacefully on Monday at Malcolm X Park on the west side of the city, they later turned violent, causing significant damage to businesses and leading to 91 arrests. Explosions followed the torching of a police car. As angry residents demanded justice. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney said the video of the shooting presented difficult questions about the actions of the officer, but he also expressed sympathy for the 30 officers injured in the scuffles that ranged through the night. Police in riot gear were seen on videos marching down streets as some residents tossed trash cans and eggs in their way. One officer who was hit by a pickup truck was being treated in a hospital. 29 officers were only mildly injured. Brooklyn Congressional Representative Yvette Clark tells WBAI the community is rightfully enraged, and she suspects few will call the police if they need help in the future.
Family members were there. His neighbors were there. These were individuals who knew and loved the young man and would want to see him survive this crisis that he personally was in. And unfortunately, the response from law enforcement was to take his life. We've just got to do better as a society. We've got to do much better. That's what, Black Lives Matter. That's what many of us who are legislators are demanding, are calling for. But we're meeting so much resistance in the law enforcement community that we're just going to have to continue to step up our efforts, because it's really become unbearable for our community to continue to witness this archaic form of law enforcement, of calling for help and then having tragedy arise as a result of that call for help. It's going to make people think twice about seeking help from law enforcement, and I'm sure it already is in many instances where people's lives are in jeopardy simply because we know that a call to the policing departments across this nation could mean that a life is taken in a reckless manner, in the way in which we've witnessed over the years and most recently across this nation. It's really just horrible to see that this continues, notwithstanding all that the people are demanding. And it's a multi-generational, a multi-racial movement to get police to reform. And the resistance is real with respect to law enforcement and taking that on as a part of their duty to the people they serve.
Brooklyn Congressperson Yvette Clark. In a news release, Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner wrote, "We intend to go where the facts and law lead us, and to do so carefully without rushing to judgment and without bias of any kind." And with one of the most acrimonious presidential elections in United States history less than a week away, more than 69 million have voted, and that's about half the electorate of the United States, and that is by absentee ballot or by early voting. Joe Biden traveled to the Hot Springs resort town in Georgia, Hot Springs, Georgia, where Franklin Delano Roosevelt coped with polio. He did that on Tuesday to declare the U.S. is not too politically diseased to overcome its health and economic crisis. While Trump told a rain-soaked crowd in Lansing, Michigan, "The election is a matter of economic survival for the state of Michigan." But the one campaigner who seemed to be having the most fun was former President Barack Obama, who was in Orlando yesterday.
"Even Florida man wouldn't be doing some of this stuff. Why would we accept it from President of the United States? And you know what? I mean, sometimes it's almost too easy to make fun of it, but it's serious. There are consequences to his actions. If he was just on Jerry Springer or something, you'd say, well, but this is the most powerful office on earth. And when people see the president doing things like that, it emboldens other people to be mean and cruel and divisive and racist. And it frays the fabric of our lives. It affects the way our children see things. When we tell our children to tell the truth, and then we have the person in the highest office in the land who doesn't seem capable of doing so, that undermines our society. It affects the way our families get along. It affects the way the world looks at America. And it distracts from the truly destructive actions that his cronies are doing all across the government as we speak, actions that affect your lives."
And Obama compared Trump to Florida Man, the state's bumbling mascot. But Obama's digs didn't prevent Trump, apparently listening to his predecessor, to tweet his complaints about how much media coverage Obama was getting, claiming at Fox News is playing Obama's no crowd fake speech for Biden, a man he could barely endorse. Trump was up late yesterday as Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas swore in the newest Associate Justice, Amy Coney Barrett.
Thank you, President Trump, for selecting me to serve as an Associate Justice of the United States Supreme Court. It's a privilege to be asked to serve my country in this office, and I stand here tonight truly honored and humbled. Thanks also to the Senate for giving its consent to my appointment. I am grateful for the confidence you have expressed in me, and I pledge to you and to the American people that I will discharge my duties to the very best of my ability. This was a rigorous confirmation process, and I thank all of you, especially Leader McConnell and Chairman Graham, for helping me to navigate it. My heartfelt thanks go to the members of the White House staff and Department of Justice who worked tirelessly to support me through this process. Your stamina is remarkable, and I have been the beneficiary of it. It is the job of a judge to resist her policy preferences. The oath that I have solemnly taken tonight means at its core that I will do my job without any fear or favor, and that I will do so independently of both the political branches and of my own preferences.
Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett. Her first votes on the court could include two big topics affecting the man who appointed her. The court is weighing a plea from President Donald Trump to prevent the Manhattan District Attorney from getting his tax returns. It's also considering appeals from the Trump campaign to shorten the deadline for receiving and counting absentee ballots in the battleground states of North Carolina and Pennsylvania. There's also a November decision about the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, once known as Obamacare. But considering past statements by the new justice downplaying the importance of Roe v. Wade and her close association with conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, it's the future of the right to choose an abortion that has activists worried. The vice president of community organizing and political affairs of Planned Parenthood of Greater New York Action Fund is Pascal Bernard.
Justice Coney Barrett is not a friend to sexual and reproductive rights. We know that she dodged so many questions during her confirmation hearing. We know her record is problematic. She's been very public about viewing any abortion as immoral. And so it's very concerning. And that's why we fought so hard to ensure that we didn't get to this point.
Third choice for one president who's not even doing well in the polls.
It's interesting that they had enough time to push this through, but they did not have enough time to deal with relief from the pandemic. We know that the Senate has not acted on the HEROES Act and so many others. We know that we need help here in the states. There's just so much that we're still dealing with the pandemic. We don't have a national order for masks and so many other things that are COVID related. And they've not dealt with those. They didn't have time to deal with that, but they had time to do this. And why is that? And we understand why, because Trump has said that he wants a justice who's going to do the right thing as it relates to the ACA. And we know that there's cases coming before the Supreme Court dealing with the ACA. And during a global pandemic, this is when you decide to not take seriously the health of citizens and to try to strike down the ACA, but you have time to do this. It doesn't make any sense. And it's we know what the motivation is.
You mentioned COVID. Does that impact the clinics that Planned Parenthood runs?
Our doors are open. We're continuing to service patients and provide quality sexual and reproductive health care. Call us to make an appointment and to continue to take care of the sexual and reproductive health needs.
The assaults on Roe, are you expecting that you're going to see much more legislation in anti-choice states and that could lead to court hearings and could come to the Supreme Court? Is there really a threat to Roe? Are we going to see an uptick in assaults on Roe?
Definitely. Right now, there are 17 cases one step away from the Supreme Court that could determine access to abortion care. This new justice is very anti-sexual and reproductive rights and sexual and reproductive care. This has emboldened the movement against a person's right to choose what to do with their body. And so we do expect to see more legislation, more trap laws, but we in New York State are lucky because in 2019, the state legislators passed the Reproductive Health Act. And so they enshrined Roe v. Wade for New Yorkers. And so we will continue to provide quality sexual reproductive health care. We will continue to provide abortion care to our patients that need it.
Poland, a strike from their commission that had a court-like power that just struck down abortion rights for almost every circumstance you could imagine in that country. I mean, just like that. And now people are in the streets fighting.
There are states where a woman's right to choose, a pregnant person's right to safe and legal abortion, will continue to happen. And we will continue to fight to protect rights, not just here in New York, but throughout the country.
What I run into is that this is a hidden agenda that the evangelical right and the right wing are using abortion as a battering ram to get through a whole change of society.
We saw this Justice dodge questions around sexual and reproductive health, around ACA, around LGBTQ plus issues, around civil rights. We saw her dodge all those questions. People have an opportunity to make their voices heard. We've seen just record turnout all across the country, and people need to continue that pressure. The polls may be saying that things are looking good, but people need to continue that pressure. Our vote is our voice, and we need to make sure that people hear us. We need to be a roaring lion.
And that is Pascale Bernard. She's the Vice President of Community Organizing and Political Affairs for Planned Parenthood of Greater New York Action Fund. And the damage done to the courts by Trump and the Republicans is also on the mind of Marjorie Cohen, a professor emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law.
Barrett's confirmation cements a 6-3 right-wing majority on the Supreme Court for perhaps decades. And that means that all of those rights that we hold dear, that we thought that were well settled, are now on the table. And that includes reproductive rights. It includes health care. The Affordable Care Act is on the chopping block. The court is going to hear oral argument on that case on November 10th, and they could throw out the whole thing. Now, Trump is talking about an executive order to lower drug prices and protect pre-existing conditions, but you can't do that in a vacuum without a plan, and the Republicans have never offered a health care plan, and that's really disturbing. And the Democrats, I think, rightfully made the assault on health care, the Republican assault on health care, the centerpiece of their questioning of Barrett in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Also on the chopping block now with Barrett on the court are workers' rights, environmental rights, LGBTQ rights, and just and voting rights. Voting rights are really in trouble. And although Roberts is a right winger and has swung left with the liberals when Ginsburg was on the court, and so was something of a swing vote. On the Wisconsin case, the recent case, he went along with the right wingers. And so it was 5-3 telling Wisconsin that basically it could not count votes if they were received after Election Day. And this refusing to allow a state to count votes reminds me of Bush versus Gore in 2000, when the Supreme Court handed the presidency to George W. Bush and told Florida it had to stop counting its votes. And not coincidentally, Amy Coney Barrett worked on Bush v. Gore for the Bush forces. So I don't think there's any doubt that she will be a loyal foot soldier in Donald Trump's army to anoint him president. And he has made it very clear he wants her on the court to protect his victory. He's talking about a victory. And disturbingly, Kavanaugh wrote for the Supreme Court in the Wisconsin case, seemed to buy Trump's argument about voter fraud coming from mail ballots, even though there's absolutely no evidence of it. So this is a very disturbing development.
He's making sure that even if he loses, unlike the person he seems to hate more than anybody in the world, Barack Obama, he is going to protect his legacy.
I think that's true. I think he's worried right now, if he loses the election, that the force of the criminal courts are going to come down on him for all of his law breaking. He did make some comment about having to leave the country. But he is, regardless of whether he wins legitimately on November 3rd, he will leave a long legacy of judicial appointments. And that's not just the Supreme Court. It's also some 200 lower federal court judgeships, circuit court and courts of appeals. And they are lifetime appointments. And that's where most of the cases are settled, are determined. He has remade the judiciary in the image of radical right-wingers, and that should worry all of us.
And if the Democrats do win, is there anything they could do to change this?
Well, there's nothing in the Constitution about the number of justices on the Supreme Court, and it has gone up and down over the years. FDR tried to expand the number of justices on the Supreme Court because the right-wing Supreme Court, 5-4, was shooting down his overturning his New Deal legislation. At the last minute, Justice Roberts, I don't think any relation to John Roberts, changed his vote and made it 5-4 to start upholding some of FDR's legislation, New Deal legislation. So the court packing idea fell by the wayside, and many people say that FDR lost the battle but won the war. There certainly would be nothing stopping the Congress from expanding the number of justices.
And that is Marjorie Cohen. She's professor emerita at Thomas Jefferson School of Law. And yesterday, Mayor Bill de Blasio changed the deadline for parents deciding to accept online or in-person instruction, angering parents who may want more time to decide if it's safe to send their kids back into school buildings. And the United Federation of Teachers took issue with the mayor. In a press release, they said City Hall's decision violates the plan New York City filed with the state, and it breaks faith of parents, adding families were told they would have an opportunity each quarter to decide whether their child returned to the classroom or remain fully remote. Such a decision undermines parents' trust in the system. And trust is being undermined among people in NYCHA housing, New York City Housing Authority buildings. Congressperson Yvette Clark says the city and NYCHA is facing a desperate situation with the lack of federal stimulus plan funds, saying that Republicans have compounded pre-existing government failures with thinning budgets. Some of the problems she lists are the pervasive presence of toxins in public housing and neglected infrastructure that's wreaked havoc on people of color, including 77,000 children in NYCHA housing who lack broadband access necessary if those students are to attend school remotely. Brooklyn Representative Yvette Clark.
There was a crisis in our public housing stock prior to the pandemic, which has been exacerbated by the pandemic, but then to find out that the data and information that we had with respect to particularly lead in the buildings, it's even more extensive than we had known, as to the urgency of getting the HEROES Act passed. We want to be able to make sure that our states and municipalities have what they need to basically replenish and recover. And without that, the specter of being able to get to a real number for our public housing stock and the remediation of the lead that needs to take place like yesterday is really a far-off pipe dream, given the extensive nature of the lead within a housing stock.
The things you just described, they totally depend on whether the government steps forward with the stimulus package or not.
There's going to be a need for HUD to really step up and use its authority to work with the city to make the real investment based on the real needs as identified not only by NYCHA, but we probably need to get an independent inspection agency in, given the fact that we were misled about the extent of lead in the units. Here in New York, it's critical. We probably have the largest concentration of public housing stock in the nation, but it's not exclusive to New York.
Is this aspirational as to the fact that Joe Biden might be next week elected a new president of the United States, or would you expect to get a hearing from President Trump if he's reelected?
At this stage, it has to be aspirational. This is a problem that was unidentified and addressed by HUD under Donald Trump's watch, and there has been no movement by the administration to address what has been a long-standing crisis. This goes back to November of 2017 when the report was done by the Department of Investigation, and they saw the failings of NYCHA, and HUD required these disclosures to be made. And there was a deal made in 2019, just the beginning of this year, for a partial federal takeover of the agency. We have skin in the game.
And as Brooklyn Representative Yvette Clark, as WBAI reported yesterday, the city plans to install Wi-Fi in city-run homeless shelters. Mayor de Blasio made the announcement Monday following a front-page story that detailed threats from school administrators and truancy officers some students have received after they missed classes due to internet connectivity issues. There are approximately 200 family shelters in the city's 450 shelter system. And that's some of the news for Tuesday, October 27th, 2020. The news was produced with Linda Perry, and our engineer is Reggie Johnson. From New York City, for the WBAI News, I'm Paul D'Arienzo.